So let us see how the wise person acts in the world. Verse number 28. Tatva vittu mahabaho. Gunakarma vibhagayoho. Guna guneshu vartante. Iti matva na sajjate. So tatva vit. Now this va, when it is added, tatva, it changes the meaning of the word. Like the word is satya. Satya means truth. Satyatva, when you add tva, it means the essence of truth. What is the, that's why they say, na, you should work with satyatva. Satya, truth, satyatva means you should work with essence of truth. So here, tatva, tat means that. That means that Paramatma, that God, that Brahman, that consciousness. When it says tatva, means the essence of that. What is the essence of that Brahman? Essence of Brahman is the substratum of this universe. It supports the whole universe. Itself unmanifest, but because of its presence, the whole universe is functioning. Itself does not do anything, but in the presence of the Lord, this whole universe. So tatva vit, the knower, yeah, that I'm coming to, tatva, tatva, essence of truth, one who knows, tatva vit, so the knower of the truth, too. Oh, but Bhagavan says, but as opposed to the ignorant one, the one who knows the essence of that Brahman, knower of that truth, Mahabaho. Why is he calling him Mahabaho? Because Arjuna had thought, I am great, I have accomplished so much. You know, I am a great warrior, I have overcome so many kingdoms, I can shoot arrows. So you and I also say, you know, I have done so much. You know, you don't know, I have made so many businesses, I have helped so many people, I have made so much money, and I have, you know, done this, and I have done that, and I have built a big house, and I have a big car, I have this. So we all think that we are Mahabaho, we have accomplished so much. But Bhagavan says that in the field of spirituality, you are still a kindergartner. No matter how much you may have accomplished, you may be a billionaire, you may have a big factory, you may have a big house, you may have a big car, you may have running a corporation, you may be CEO, but in the field of spirituality, you are still a kindergartner. Unless you come to the feet of the teacher, bow down, and with humility study. If you have arrogance that I know so much, I have accomplished so much, then you will never learn. So the reason he's calling him Mahabaho, yes, you are a great warrior, you have accomplished a lot, but here you are a student. So go with the attitude of a student when we go. That's why we bow down to Swamiji. Not that people say, oh, he's a human, why should I? Because we bow down to his knowledge, not to the body of the Mahatma, but to his knowledge. So Mahabaho, O great warrior, Tatva Vittu, the knower of the truth, Guna Karma Vibhaga Yoho, knows all the qualities of Prakriti and actions. So the knower of truth knows, first of all, what is Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Sattva is purity, Rajas is action, Tamas is ignorance. And how a wise person works, how a selfish person works, and how a lazy person works. So a wise person knows all three. It's not that he does not know what is happening. He knows what is happening. Then and then alone he can be called a knower of the truth. And what does he know? Guna guneshu vartante. Gunas are dealing with gunas. So my sattva rajas, at this moment, my sattva rajas tamas is interacting with your sattva rajas and tamas. When I'm speaking to you and the voice is going into your ear, it is my gunas, my organs of action, my speech is dealing with your organs of senses, hearing. So my organ of action, speech, is dealing with you. So guna guneshu vartante, he knows that all activities in this world are relationship between gunas, and that's why he na sajjate iti matva. Knowing this, he does not get deluded, does not get attached, because he knows that prakriti is working, nature is working, body, mind and intellect are working, but I do nothing. But if we have doership, that I do so much, I am, then you will have enjoyership too. If I'm successful, I am enjoying. And if I'm unsuccessful, then I have sufferership. Oh, I am suffering. I did so much and I didn't get my result. Or I did so much and nobody appreciates. You know, so is that you are working for what? For people to appreciate, or you are doing it because it's the right thing to do? So if you have the idea that I am doing, then you will have the idea I am suffering if you fail, or I am enjoying. So you say I am doing what is the right thing and I am not attached to actions. How do we get attached to actions? How do I know that I am attached to actions? So they say, suppose somebody criticizes you, do you get unhappy? Yeah, I get unhappy. Then you are still attached to your intellect. Somebody says, I don't love you, do you become miserable? Yeah, if my husband tells me I don't love you, of course I become. Then you are still attached to the mind. If tomorrow you get some illness and, you know, your foot is hurting or back is hurting, and then you get depressed. Why I am getting sick, and look at my neighbor, he's running around playing and I am, you know, walking with the cast, I broke my foot. If you are disheartened, then you are still attached to the body. So I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, I am pure consciousness. That's what the wise person knows. Yes, if the body gets hurt and he has a fracture, of course he will go put a cast. He's not going to say, I am not the body, I'm not going to take care. Yes. If there is some joys and sorrows, you know, his own joys and sorrows won't affect him, but somebody else is unhappy, there is a death in somebody's family, the wise person will go and help that person. Or if there is something he doesn't understand, he will study, but himself is not affected. So if you are disheartened, then you are still at the BMI level. And how do wise people become wise? By self-effort. It does not happen just by chance. They have worked very hard. Without hard work, you cannot progress in spirituality, no matter which field you are in. If you want to become a good scientist or a good engineer or an Olympic swimmer or a mountain climber or run a factory, everything you need to work hard. So spirituality also, you need to work hard. And people say, you know, now is time for me to enjoy. Let me enjoy all the pleasures of the world. And then at age 65, then when I'm retired and I've experienced all the joys and sorrows and I've traveled the world and I've seen, then Swamiji, I'll come to your Gita class. Now let me have fun. So they say that suppose you are cooking rice and you want to know if the rice is ready or not. So what do? You take one grain of rice and you squeeze it. It's soft. Second one, soft. You know rice is ready. You don't need to check every grain in the whole, whole pot, that to see if the rice is ready. One or two grains gives you knowledge. Yes, the rice is ready to be cooked. So similarly, when you have gone through one or two of life's experiences and joys and sorrows, you realize this is not giving me permanent joy. You don't need to experience all the joys that are in the world and travel everywhere in the world and see everything in the world. One or two experiences should be enough to give you that understanding that knowledge alone is the path. These joys and sorrows are not going to give me permanent joy. See, a joy, yes, no doubt, if I do something and I get happy, that will give me a temporary joy. If there is a sorrow, there will be temporary sorrow. So one or two of life's experience, or if you have gone through some major crisis or some major problem, or in life I had some health issues or I had some emotional stress, that should wake you up. You know, that's what Eckhart Tolle calls them, alarm clocks. He says, when sorrows of life come, think that Bhagwan is, the Lord is giving you an alarm clock to wake you up. So do not keep on doing the same mistake, because if you do the same mistake, next time the alarm clock will be louder. See, if you don't wake up, next time the way they tune it, alarm clock is louder. And if you don't wake up, third time it is louder. So similarly, the sorrows that come in life, don't think that this sorrow is being given to me as a punishment. It is an alarm clock to wake me up so that I should turn my mind away from the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. That's why with the body I perceive the objects, with the mind I feel the emotions, with the intellect I think the thoughts, and vasanas are my tendencies, and om is God's presence. So right now our body, mind, and intellect is all the time engaged in objects, emotions, and thoughts, and they will give you sorrow. The physical body will get sorrow from objects. The mind will get sorrow from emotions. The intellect will get sorrow from ideas. So once you are, twice you have experienced, you say, enough, bahut ho gaya. Let me turn my attention backwards. Let me turn it around and turn it towards God, turn it towards the Lord. So life's experiences are meant to wake us up. It's not that somebody is sitting up there and saying, okay, let me punish this one and let me bless this one. No. When sorrow comes, they say, thank you, God. You have given me an opportunity to wake up. So that's what he says, that a wise person knows sense organs are working in the organs of action. My eyes are seeing, my ears are listening, my, you know, nose is smelling, tongue is tasting, and my hands are working, my feet are working. So everything is happening in the world, but I am none of those. So that is the difference between a wise person. Na sajjate. You and I get so attached. Oh, it is my dog. Oh, it is my wife. Oh, it is my money. Oh, it is my house. But a wise person says, nothing belongs to me, because I am the Atman, the Self, and works with that attitude. Yes, no doubt we have to earn, we have to take care of our family, but inside I should know that I am the Atma, I am the Self. Work with that attitude and slowly, slowly spend less time in worldly pursuits and more time in spiritual pursuit. So that is the essence of these three verses, that how a wise person gets attached. I mean, a wise person is unattached and an ignorant one is attached, and how a wise person should not mislead others but be a good example. Yeah, did you have a question or comment? They haven't done any karmas. That's true.
Like, how do they learn from?
No, they don't learn. See, they only come to experience. See, what happens is that it's kind of a long thing, but there is agami karma, prarabdha karma, and sanchit karma. So sanchit are my past karmas. Prarabdha is what I'm going through in this life, and agami is my future karmas. So due to my past karmas, like whatever is good or bad is happening to me at this moment is happening due to my past karmas. And then whatever actions I do in this life will determine my future. It's clear, right? Because same thing. If you study, you will do well. If you don't study, you won't do well. We tell our children that. So each birth is meant to go through certain amount of karmas. So my past karmas, which are in my bank, some of them fructify. Like I put my hand in electricity, I get the result right away. I don't get the result tomorrow. But if I plant a seed in the ground, the mango tree will grow in 10 years. So different karmas manifest at different times. So each birth I have taken to go through my past karmas, which is called prarabdha, or my present life. So one person lives for 90 years and goes through all joys and sorrows. Another child lives only for 6 weeks or 6 months. So for that mind and intellect, that individual who is the one to whom the karmas are not to the body, and karmas are not to the Lord. Karmas belong to the jiva, the mind and intellect. So in this life, the kind of body I get will depend on my past karmas. So if a child only lives for 6 months, then his that particular lifetime was only meant to go through that experience of birth and 6 months of pain and then dying of cancer. So whatever karmas, his or her particular karmas had matured for only for that much time. That's why in a plane crash, you know, 100 people are there, 2 people survive and 98 people die. Why? Because the 2 people's prarabdha was not over yet. Their karma was not over and the other 98 did not survive. So based on my past karmas, my present life is determined based on my past karmas. And my present life could be 6 hours, 6 days, or 60 years. It all depends on which karmas have matured at what time. Like I said, what is that? Eggplant grows in few months. Well, a mango tree takes 10 years to grow. Why is the difference? That's how it is. So similarly, some karmas mature right away. Like you do well, you know, and you pass and you get a very good job. If you don't study, you don't get a good job. But say you help somebody. Now you may not get the benefit of that in this lifetime. You may get it in the future lifetime. Or you hurt somebody, like a child molester or somebody. He or she may not suffer in this. They may or they may not. But in some future lifetime, they have to. So every karma definitely will manifest, will give you the result. But when, that we don't know. So the idea is that I don't know what I did in my past. My present is a result of my past. Let me at least do good in the present so that my future may be good. And ultimately, I should go beyond this idea of birth and death. So what takes birth? The jiva, the mind and intellect, the individual, gets a particular body based on its karmas, and Om, the consciousness, is the same in all. I don't know, does it answer your question?
No, but what she asked was, does she learn that for child doesn't learn from
yes.
It, but the other people who are around it, for them mm-hmm. it's a learning. Parent or...
Right.
Because each one of us have our karmas interrelated with each other.
True.
That's why each soul is placed in a certain place. Like we are all sitting here. We're all here for some common goal, right? So this is, everybody is placed in your life is according to, you know, your karma or your...
It's a combined
karma
in a
way. Yeah.
So the child comes there. I had practical example. I'm an obstetrician, so I had a twin pregnancy, which is in the same sac. When they have one sac, they strangulate each other. They can hold on to the cords. So those both fetuses died at 7 months. And I delivered that to twins. And here I'm waiting for this woman to get pregnant again so I can give her a healthy child. But you know what she told me? No, I don't want any more children. I'll adopt some children. And what she learned from there, she said, these children did that to unite my family, which was broken.
Yeah, see?
See the how karma works?
Yeah.
Very interrelated.
Yeah, they are.
So, it opened up my eyes that this particular lady took the lessons from that
saying
that I lost my children and I don't want any more children, I'll adopt some children. But what they did was it united my family, which was broken up before.
But the child also learns, because that the pain that the child is going through, that might wake the child up, because the child is an fully intelligent human being. For you and me, it may appear that the child does not know anything, but the child has an intellect too, and the mind. And so the child also, maybe that pain may be an opportunity for the child to wake up, and the child may evolve into a higher soul. So to think that the child does not learn is also
depends on the age of
the child. It doesn't matter, even 6 days or 6 minutes. But it is a fully developed human being who has an intellect, who has a mind, who has a body. So going through that pain may be a waking up experience. We don't know.
But I definitely know.
Yes, but for the other people, definitely. Yes. Absolutely. Right. At least for the others, it's a waking experience. But that's a very good question. Thank you. Right. Very true. It's a very, very beautiful statement that we have gone through so many births, and then this is just one of many births, and we may have to go through many more. So you're right. And whatever is born will die. So I mean, we take death as to be something so drastic or so dramatic or so sad. Yeah, it is sad, but if you understand, like he says, same thing Bhagavan Krishna tells Arjuna in the fourth chapter. You and I both have had many births, but I know all my births and you don't. So death is of course sorrowful, but if you realize that, especially not for another person, you don't go and tell another person, oh, this your child died, it's okay, he has had many births. But when I'm facing my own death and a doctor tells me you have only so much time to live, or if I see my body declining, then this kind of understanding, yes, I have taken many births and I will take many births. So it's okay. Death is all right. So it makes you stronger. Not that you should go around giving advice to others, but it is for you. So I think I totally agree with what he's saying very beautifully. Yes.
And also I think Gurudev here talked about Mahabaho.
Right. There were two meanings. Yeah. One is Mahabaho is that we have talked before, is that he was a great warrior and he had overcome many battles. But today he doesn't have to face the enemy, he has to face his own mind. That's why he has won many battles, but today when he has to face his own mind, he is failing. So he's reminding him that you are a great warrior, you have overcome so many, and so that is one meaning. You have overcome so many challenges in your life, but now the challenge in front of you is to overcome your mind. And the second meaning, as I also said, which Swami Bodhatmanandaji says, that no matter how much you have accomplished in the world, you may think you are a Mahabaho, but in the field of spirituality, you have to start from ABC. You have to start from kindergarten. So Mahabaho has two meanings.
Yeah, win the mind, win the world.
Yeah, win the mind, win the world, right. One who has won the mind has won the world. Because the world is happy or unhappy based on my mind. It's the same rainfall. The one who is happy says, you know, even the heavens are celebrating. And the one who is sad, he says, oh, even God is crying when I'm crying. So the same rainfall, two people look at it differently.